honorable members.
Are we a quorum, Chair?
Well, it's a briefing. We will deal with the issues that need the quorum, defer them to the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable, for sure. Let me welcome honorable members, also honorable members from the province. I see the name of the chairperson of the portfolio committee, and also honorable councillor Makgatha, who's responsible for economic development in the Buffalo City municipality, as well as other. The MEC has just joined. Greetings to the MEC as well, MEC Mvoko. You're welcome. I don't know if Honorable Deputy Minister Majola has already joined. Mangalis?
No, he has not joined yet.
Not yet. Because I was going to quibble and over to him to make opening remarks and also allow Honorable Mvoko also to make honorable remarks, as well as honorable Makgatha, and then we'll be taken through the presentations. Is Chulu connected?
No, well, Chulu is not going to connect.
Oh, not going to
only
connect.
Only Mangaliso and
Oh, okay. Perhaps let's deal with the attendance and apologies in the meantime.
Thanks, Chair. So far, we have Honorable Moshodi, Honorable Mamaragane, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Protasip, Honorable Apieni. I think that's all for now. And we received an apology from Honorable Moiman.
Yes. Thanks so much. Honorable Moimang is out of the country. Okay.
Mr. Lont is also
connected. And I see also Honorable Maragane.
Yeah.
Okay. Now then we can continue. Just that not sure why the minister is not yet connected. Okay, let me invite Honorable Mvoko to make opening remarks, and then follow by Honorable Makgatha.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. It's been a long day. No, I just want to appreciate the opportunities of being invited and being part of the meeting of today. I think the request by the select committee was for me to come and brief them on the Dimbaza Park. So I am fine with that, Honorable Chairperson, and I'm ready to present. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm told that Honorable Deputy Minister has joined. Let me start first hand over to him. But let me indicate that first and foremost is that we have been receiving reports from the department on various Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And its programs, all its programs, I think 10 programs, but one of the programs deal with the SEZ and industrial parks. But most of the time it will be a briefing which is at a high level on the SEZ as well as the industrial park. It will not be then specific, more details on each of the industrial parks. I happen to be deployed in the Dimbaza area. I see on daily basis the state of the industrial park in Dimbaza. I was of the view that perhaps sometimes this is a high-level presentation.
Recording in progress.
Do not really assist members. I think it's best that we deal with the one industrial park, and so that we go into details with regard to the status of such an industrial park, so that we have a better understanding, so that we don't only have just a general understanding and a high-level information. So we need to dig deeper into the details. So that's why then we decided that we should invite all the stakeholders that are involved in the Dimbaza Industrial Park. We will do the same also with other industrial parks in the country. Members are free to make suggestions because they work in the, they are in the provinces, so they will know and then make a suggestion as to which industrial park or SPZ or any other project that are within the four departments that we oversight as a select committee. So it was on the basis of that we thought that let's not invite a department just to give us a broad overview and presentation at a high level on industrial park. We must just be specific on one industrial park. Maybe in future we might take a Buchabelo industrial park and get specific details with regard to that particular industrial park. So we're starting now with the Dimbaza industrial park. I see there's something that is telling me that my internet is connection is weak. Maybe I should switch off my camera. I was just indicating as to why we decided to call this meeting and only focusing on one industrial park. It's because we want more details, specific details with regard to this particular industrial park. I see that we do have the minister and his team, also MEC Mboko, so that is MMC for economic development in the Buffalo City municipality. So there is a delegation from the ECDC, I see the name of the CEO, and also we appreciate the presence of the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development in the province. Let me hand over to the Deputy Minister for the opening remarks, and then we will indicate then who will be leading the presentation. After that, then we give the opportunity to MEC Mboko for the presentation of the department. After that, it will be Buffalo City or ECDC. So when I saw the presentation of Buffalo City, it's the same presentation as that of ECDC. So I don't know, they'll decide among themselves who will be then leading the presentation. Over to you, DM.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Fai, and good afternoon to all the members of this committee. Greetings to MEC Mboko, the MMC, and all the officials from both the DTIC and the province and the city of Buffalo City. Honorable Chair, we're not going to be long with the opening remarks. It is very useful that you clarified what your approach is as the select committee with regard to how you want us to deal with the issues relating to industrial parks. indeed, we will give a presentation to the scene that we send on Friday, and they had to revise it and resend today, and I hope it didn't cause difficulties on our part. The bulk of the presentation still remains the same. We had just a few changes to make, which we sent through today. So as you correctly stated, so it will be quite at a higher level with regard to what is with regard to the involvement of the DTIC in the Kimbaza Industrial Park. So I'm quite impressed with the fact that you may be looking at especially some of these key industrial parks one at a time, working with the different stakeholders in the province to look at what needs to be done. So without any waste of time, I think I can hand over. Mr. Tammy Klassen is going to do the presentation on behalf of the DTIC, another chair. So we can have a discussion at a later stage. You would see that we in the presentation we sent to you, these industrial parks do employ quite a large numbers of our people in the local areas. So the absorption rate is quite large that they even our SEZ program. So it is something that we've got to think through how we want to focus on the ones that we can upscale and that have the potential to absorb more job seekers in the local areas. But with that, Chair, once again, thanks for the time. I would like you to give permission to Ms. Klassen to make the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable DM. Honorable members, we will take all the presentations and then have a discussion thereafter. Mr. Klassen, over to you.
Good afternoon, Chair, and honorable members as well. I will attempt to share the presentation. I hope I've got the right let's just see. Is it visible, Chair?
Yeah, it is visible. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Please pardon me for the, I think because of the weather, the bandwidth for showing the camera may be slightly interfered with in terms of the transmission. We'll take you through the presentation, Chair, but we will also highlight the work that's being done by the DTIC to date, which covers the program of the revitalization of the industrial parks, which supports the state-owned parks, and which was started in the year 2015, where today we stand at approximately 870 million rands that we have dispersed through one of our programs, the Critical Infrastructure Program, and have managed to cover 13 of the industrial parks across 7 provinces. And the province of Eastern Cape is one of those areas that has also managed to benefit from this program significantly through a number of these initiatives. But all, I know we're talking about industrial parks, but also when we think of the special economic zones as well as one of our tools that we use to reach out to address the issues around spatial inequity that exists. The significant employment is created around these industrial parks. When we have done some high-level study, we do find that the average occupancy of the gross leasable area is about 75%, and overall it employs in excess of about 46,000 people across all the industrial parks which we have intervened and thus far. And we know that the numbers, of course, are quite huge, especially where we to dedicate some time
to now look into the issues of employability, skilling of people, temporary jobs, and those multipliers that when we do most likely a study and a survey will be indicated by those numbers that could be obtained from there. On the recent survey again done, it would indicate that in the year 2021, there was a significant increase in terms of the investment that were obtained by from the industrial parks of about 2 billion rand, which gave rise to the employability of people, skilling, and also helping in the social economic conditions of the people around the parks themselves. Zooming into Dimbaza as an industrial park, we do note that it is owned and operated by the ECDC and it's fully serviced by the Buffalo City Metro, and also is one of the biggest employers in the town, responsible for close to 703 permanently employed persons there. The factory spaces focus on small and medium large businesses, and we know the demand as well is very low, especially for industrial space currently that's available to be commercialized, I think, for bigger business. I think one of the things that we have noted, most likely maybe it could be due to some concerns around the security, maybe lack of quite strong accommodation infrastructure, and maybe to a certain extent, the architecture of the industrial park itself takes a form of the old designs, whereas you look at the modern sort of type of designing of industrial parks has taken a new shape. However, those kind of things could be cosmetics and which could be, I think, to a certain extent improved. We look at the tenants profile. As I've mentioned, it is not that impressive currently, as we have noted from the reports that we have got. You have a mixture of tenants which are around the industries of funeral services, construction. There's also churches there, manufacturers of carpets, chemicals, auto-related, one mining company, and some manufacturers of clothing, and two distributors, of course. All these are responsible for the complement of 24 of these companies that are found there. In terms of name, you would see the type of enterprises and the names of enterprises that are found and located there, and employing to about 650 people in terms of actual people that are benefiting from there. In terms, again, of the 2021, the six manufacturing companies attributed to a total of about 100 million rands. And these also have different, spaces in terms of the sectors. Some are in the auto, like I've said, some are in the construction and the various other sectors as well. When we look at our structure in terms of funding as a DTIC, the service provider that's appointed by the DTIC is the DBSA, and it's been, I think, responsible for the rollout of most of our industrial parks. However, I'm sure that the chief director, Mr. Justice Ngwenya, he may not have been able to join this platform. He is the one who usually contracts with the different agencies, and in particular with the DBSA. But there is that any, I think, agencies, provided it's got a formidable, I think, a panel of service providers, it can also indicate its capability of being able to deliver on this important industrial infrastructure, because this is one of the things that would want to spread in order to deepen the value of participation in the schemes in the regions themselves, as opposed to every time it be at DBSA. The critical infrastructure funded phase one in 2018, and the main contractor, of course, was appointed, and the value was about 38 million rand, and the whole exercise was completed in October 2020. Phase one was likely responsible for making sure that there were electrical high masts and fencing, the Clearview fencing, and the enhancement of the security in the parts of the access to the park itself, and some of the park infrastructure to access the storm water and drainage and sewage reticulations as well. Security ponds and guard houses were also replaced there. The mini substation replaced to provide reliable power was also installed. In terms of the socio-economic impact, the total construction jobs in phase one was 248 persons, with 68 of these individuals in the youth category. I think in the area again of SMMEs, 19 of these SMMEs were from the local area. Two women-owned SMMEs were contracted, which again is of a great concern to the DTIC, and I think the bigger state in terms of really changing that dial to start to have more employment coming from the women cohorts, especially, and also the youth as well. Average spend on SMMEs was 280,000, which is quite low comparing to what we have also said. We said that 38 million rands was actually dispersed, and when you look at how much we expended on the local the SMMEs is very low, which is also a concern. The phase two, Chair, I must allude that it was the responsibility of ECDC and the Metro itself. I'm sure they would enhance and give insight on some of the things that we achieved, but it's as we have reported, as we integrate our work with what they had also done. We want to take the responsibility in terms of ensuring that we are coherent in the things that we do, hence the role that we've also sought the narrative and the stats of how they performed when they rolled out this. I'm sure they can, of course, to a certain extent, they will indicate to us on some of the things if they have changed in the last couple of months, Chair, from July, since we received the report. There were three packages that were given in the year of April 2021. The proposed completion date is 2023, if all goes on to plan. And the total value of the project is 115.285 million rands, and the three packages include the road and park services, the electrical network upgrade and high mast lighting, including the third one being the wastewater treatment plant upgrade. Of course, the package one, the project value according to the split was of 42 million approximately, and it was awarded in April 2021, took 15 months to complete as would be envisaged. And it did include, of course, the making of a new entrance that is outside of the road and services that was done. At the time of the reporting, it was 85% complete. And then the phase two, which had to do with electrical network upgrading and installation of high mast lighting. The value was 37.7 million rand, awarded in December 2021, and of course, taking the duration of which it would be developed was 12 months. And the other one was the wastewater treatment plant, which was 35.2 million rands, awarded in 2021 as well, in November. And the industrial park, was going to be serviced by this water treatment plant, and the surrounding areas would also benefit from the 6 million liters per day capacity, which will increase to 12 million liters per day in terms of the upgrade that was going to be done there on that. The report on the phase two again further indicates that four SMMEs were appointed by the main contractor, namely the Dawn, Yoshulela, Elegance and Vozim projects, which all employed about 39, five of those persons being female and 34 being males. You'll still see our cry in terms of numbers of those cohorts that we mentioned earlier. The investment pipeline into the SEZ, into the industrial park rather itself, has been a non-automotive cluster relocated into Dimbaza Industrial Park, which is a special purpose vehicle established in 2015 through the Department of the Province Economic Development there, whose key functions are to assist the auto-related industries around access to markets, technology, skills and best practice, and support with I think finance there and other service deliveries and policy input which could improve their business in terms of it being sustainable. Key takers that we have learned overall as the TTIC from implementation of the scheme and also the lessons that we've learned. Maybe we also need to give an indication that over the past assessment period, where also the Auditor General also took a drive, including also the DPME, there were quite a number of concerns and challenges that were raised with regards to the practice in terms of delivery of the scheme and the impact that it's made, amongst which, of course, I think top on the list would be the vandalism that was experienced overall. So these are some of the lessons that we take from having implemented the scheme, also having assessed, also having given some insight in terms of structuring some of the applications and some of the business cases that were given to us. One of the things that we have noted, Chairperson, is that there's a need for a change in ownership or control of the targeted parks. Whether we do, have agreements in the form of tripartite agreements where national, the province and municipalities or the cities and metros are involved. It's a matter that we are now open to, but emphatically as the PPIC, particularly the scheme going forward, looking at what I've highlighted at the high level, is the issue of it being unsustainable, where you find that we do give money for this infrastructure as the government, as the department, but at the end of the day, some of the elements are then vandalized, but there's no taking of responsibility of replacing them. But even if other departments were to replace them, we still find that it would be us again wasting money, because that's what National Treasury and the AG also were raising around our issues of control. I think we do need, therefore, a proper governance and compliance management systems to be in place, which will be supported, of course, by other packages that could be created from the municipalities and the province in order for it to attract investment, or us to ensure that we've got private and in order for us to take the program forward in terms of even growing these industrial spaces and infrastructure to be formidable and enhance the issue of job employment, skills development in those areas. Sound business plans need to be provided for. There are a number of these industrial parks that we've dealt with. Maybe less than 10% of them have got business plans that and strategic plans that you can identify. Most of them do not have these things and don't have a clear a framework of a set of objectives and goals that they would like to achieve given in that year. And the internal industrial parks, we are proposing as well that what should be adopted is where a precinct of thought is now installed. We don't want to start fencing the whole of Dimbaza as an industrial park, but we therefore have taken the view that we should have it revitalized on a zonal approach, where the first things that we're going to be looking at is we want to zone a section where we can call it a township manufacturing or an enterprise zone, and bring those backyards, manufacturers, operators from their garages at home and bring them into an enabled infrastructure where we can provide even maybe alternative form of energies like solar, wind, and make those businesses to be formidable where they would operate within the bigger part of the industrial park. The costs, of course, as you would know, I know one of the biggest costs that the industrial parks in Timbaza highlighted at the time of initiation was around fencing the whole industrial park. It's a huge exercise. And of course, our assessment is sometimes we may sink the cost because it doesn't mean once we've put a fence, then the industries will flock in terms of investment there. So there are a lot of things that we also need to put systematically that we can then put in the industrial and the investors may be attracted to those. One of the other things that we feel is quite very, advanced in thinking, it advances our thinking, is that we need to have private sector involvement in these parks. Whether a model that's a hybrid where a section of these you'll give them on a lease basis to attract bigger investors, it's something that you can look, because there are ratios in terms of how you can create these financial models to ensure that also these parks, the smaller players such as these ones that we want to do as a precinct of industrial parks, they don't carry the load of paying the renter, servicing the space alone. But you've got a bigger investor who is keen to rent and lease a space from you, you can probably look at that, how you manage it. In one of the exercises that we want, if you go above 30% of the land parcels that you use, it turns out not to be that feasible, that kind of a model. But if you go at low 30% of the land parcels, I'm sure it would differ from industry to industry and type of the land parcel you have. But I'm sure the metro and the province can create a model there and see how these can be created going forward to be sustained. The implementation of the industrial park revitalization enhances our methodology of the special industrial development strategy. We seek, of course, to address issues in the lagging region and ensure that we do attract business investments to locate in those areas. And the key thing that indicators from the three overarching objectives of the DTIC, which is industrialization, transformation, and building of a capable state. I think building of a capable state, talking about issues of making sure that the red tape is reduced, make sure that the bureaucracy works where it needs to be working, but we are speedy and agile in terms of delivering. And we do collaborate as a state instead of it being DTIC. Hence, I think also our proposition that going forward, we are going to have to see that we collaborate in the governance and operation of these parks and enhance our financial support in these. We see that indicators such as the emergence of new and industrial hubs will contribute substantially to the key economic indicators in the area that are needed to impact on the socio-economic growth. The number of value of foreign and domestic investors into the districts, of course, will increase. When you look at it, how now government, through the district development model, we are also enhancing and giving our value in a way we sometimes call it district industrial development, because we try and galvanize and bring all the and pull through all the projects that have got to do with industrialization. But also we look at the soft issues such as the social economic impediments and challenges, and this will help us so that we don't have a start and stop in terms of project implementation on the ground. And of course, we are looking at increasing our exports and the employment in the industrial or manufacturing sector. One of the key things of the area, I am sure, would be around the area of agro processing and agriculture because of its location. And also Eastern Cape hasn't really tapped much into its mineral resources in various areas. And it would be an issue that we can and would want to discuss further in some of the areas that are associated with the metro and its surroundings. And as I have said, we have sought to align the methodology of industrial parks, township economy through the district development model one plan. We sit in the technical team that is chaired by COGTA in terms of assessing the performance of these one plans and make sure that we do tweak it where maybe, you know, we note that the first iteration of these one plans were rather in a rush to a certain extent. We do find that there are critical elements which have got to do with industrialization, economic development, and projects of that nature, which were missing and are missing in most of these one plans. But through that strategy of really sitting with the colleagues and to assess these, we have found the valuable lessons that now we are strengthening that element of coordination. We've got a program of township and rural economy, which I know in the Eastern Cape is going to come in handy. I think the province is one of the leaders in terms of the agrarian reform and development. But there's lots of things that we think we should be now upping in terms of agro-processing and building off industrial enclaves. I mean, we can make a lot of examples of the industries that used to be a shining example in the employment, even pre-1994 in the Eastern Cape. We think maybe we need to relook at some of those things vis-a-vis, of course, with our demands on the environment and all those kinds of things, and look at opportunities that could be given by the green economy and how the use of the green spaces of the rural communities can also do in terms of carbon sequestration or carbon mitigation measures. So we need to develop most of these things. And need I mention as well that these kind of initiatives, if we are to develop and dedicate our time to these innovation also brought by the green economy, it brings in a premium price in terms of even your export trading. So we need to look at into all of those. Okay, this is where we would end and thank the members. But the key take from this is that we are looking at revising the scheme, and we are interacting with province, and we're interacting with all the municipalities where these are hosted and through various platforms. But we're looking at integration of the district development model, the township and rural economy, and also the industrial park. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Klassen. I will now hand over to MEC Mvoko. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. After listening to what was presented here, I was wondering what is it that I would present. I'm not certain whether ECD is making a presentation.
ECD is making a presentation.
Okay, precisely because, Chair, what we funded in the province in terms of the money that came from the stimulus fund of 104 million rand of work is being handled by ECDC. I know that the second phase, which included some road bulk services at a cost of 42 million rand, was completed some time, and now they're dealing with others. So I would rather ECDC makes a presentation, Chair, having noted that, indicated that our portion of funding was given to ECDC to implement. That's what I would, because much of what is being presented in the first presentation would have been covered in what I would have presented. If you allow, Chair, can we then allow ECDC to give us a particular specific progress on the ETBAS?
All right. No, thank you very much, MEC Mvoko. I don't know. Let me first establish if Buffalo City has a different presentation, or is it the same presentation as ECDC? Honorable Mahata, Mr. Klassen, can you take off the presentation from the screen? Mr. Wakaba?
Good evening.
I just wanted to first establish if Buffalo City has a different presentation to yours.
We've agreed that we will do a joint one, and I will be doing the presentation, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. I don't know, this one of NTT IC.
Still on the screen.
Yeah, it is still on the screen. Baha, can you take off yours? Okay. I don't know if you have sharing rights.
Not yet. Host disabled attendees screen for sharing.
You have hosting rights, Mr. Wakaba.
Apologies, Chair. I was struggling taking it. Sorry.
All right.
One second, Chair.
Oh, can I ask Enrico to flight it and then you'll lead him?
I think so. I think he's struggling.
Enrico, can you flight it and Mr. Wakaba will lead you to the flights? But I'm sure the ECDC one has got some specific, otherwise it's also similar to that of DTIC, but it will provide specifics.
Yes, yes, Chair. In fact, Chair, I would ask Enrico to move to slide 12. Slide 1 to 11, I think the same information has been incorporated in the DTIC presentation. Before I start, Chair, I just want to make some background remarks. The Dimbaza Center over the last 3 years has seen significant investment in it, which has come with a significant amount of hope for the people around the area, but more so for the SMMEs within the area. Members would know that subsequent to the lifting of the various incentives that used to be in place for the industrial parks, many of them started struggling with attracting business investors. We think with the interventions that are being implemented, there's hope again. We have seen resourcing from the DTIC as well as from our department, DTIC, which have made difference. This slide presents from a phase 2 point of view the various initiatives that are under implementation with at least one relating to bulk roads and bulk services having been completed. My colleague from DTIC spoke to this slide, so I will not spend much time in it. You may move, Enrico. This slide presents the way forward as we navigate the route of making these centers viable and attractive for local economic development. We have three portfolio segments within the Eastern Cape Development Corporation. We have a residential portfolio, a commercial portfolio, and the industrial portfolio. The intention with the industrial portfolio is to invest in it such that we deploy it to assist growth within the province. So we're looking at using these facilities to support localization, whether from a manufacturing point of view or from a wholesale point of view. In order to do this, we realize that we need to put in place a package of incentives which may not necessarily mimic what used to obtain in these areas, but incentives that respond to the needs of the businesses. And this slide highlights some of the key pillars of our interventions as we work on making these attractive. We are highlighting that we're looking at incentives that are within our sphere of influence, and those would typically exclude tax and fiscal incentive as would be provided by national government. We are highlighting some of the pillars that would drive the areas of intervention that we're working on. Skills and training, innovation, infrastructure and digital infrastructure, commercial feasibility linked to value chains, partnerships and community involvement. These are the aspects that we are packaging various interventions within the corporation to assist. In order for these centers to succeed, the work should include interventions of an economic development nature, of trade and investment promotion, of SME development and support, as well as entrepreneurship development. We are blessed in the province in that we hold all of those mandates as the ECDC, and therefore we're able to harness the various interventions from those service trends in order to assist in packaging products that work for these. I think you can move to the next slide. This unpacks the detail of the incentive packaging, which I think we're using the term incentive with a sense of caution, but these are interventions we are putting in place in order to make these centers attractive, in particular to investors. One, dealing with issues of energy supply. In this area, we're looking at partnering for renewable energy, whether it's hydrogen or solar, and we've already put in place plans identifying both Dimbaza as well as Vulindlela's priority centers that we believe we can support in this area. Water shortages, we're looking at rainwater harvesting measures, low level of skills, we're looking at partnerships with CITAS that would assist in developing targeted skills that are required by operators within the centers. A digital infrastructure, we're looking at providing broadband and fiber installation access to the operators within these centers. A lack of supporting industries, we're looking at putting a call center that would assist in providing support services to the centers. You may move, sir. From a commercial area focus point of view, we've identified what industries would be best suited within Dimbaza in particular. We've identified vertical farming and hydroponics, and have already identified investor interest, grain and logistics, rapid prototyping. There's already a facility for rapid prototyping located at the center. FMCG localization opportunities, we think this is a big area of opportunity, and it's an area that we're looking at as we move forward. You may move, sir. Other areas that we're looking at relate to the digital hub, relates to retail activities, especially within the center. We identified a truck and fuel stock, banking services, industrial hardware supplies, food courts, parking and car wash as part of the investments that would make the center more attractive for business and more livable from a trading and commercialization point of view. We're also looking at the recycling opportunities within the sector. You may move, sir. The challenges that have faced these centers have ranged historically from funding. Because of funding challenges, there have been no packaging of either opportunities around the centers, because the centers themselves were mostly in a derelict state due to low level of attracting operators. But with the funding that has been received over the last 3 years, we're slowly changing that phase for these centers, with bulk infrastructure having been installed, and we're increasingly getting interest from businesses to be located. Earlier in the presentation, as members would see in one of my slides, we also indicated a movement from the last quarter in terms of businesses that have expressed interest in the center. The focus moving forward is on developing material that would market the center, including instruments such as site maps, instruments such as the formalization of the incentive package in terms of the what is available to the operators from the various areas we've outlined. And we also are considering reviewing the 2016 master plan. We think that time has moved and there are new opportunities, especially within the digital space, as well as within localization and wholesaling, which we can pursue, which are not as pronounced in the initial plan. Without taking much of your time, Chairperson, I want to say we have a specialist industrial parks that is starting from the 1st of December. We've not had a dedicated resource looking at the industrial parks for years. We now shall have one, which is a testimony to the focused attention to giving better focus on the administration and management of the parks. We also have a senior manager in industrial development that started on 1st of August. Already we have had significant work undertaken through that capability in order to scope opportunities for the industrial parks. We're remodeling our trade and investment promotion such that we employ the sniper rifle approach, where we formulate projects and then package and market projects, and not just opportunities, such that we're able to attract investors to an identified, costed and packaged opportunity within these centers. We also are collaborating with other agencies within the provinces, such as the sister development agencies, such as the ECPTA, the ECRDA, and the local SEZs that are in the Eastern Cape, in order to seek opportunities that would be best placed in these areas, particularly Timbaza. Chair, I want to stop there for now, and indicate that we're ready for questions or remarks that the members may have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Unless there are remarks from the Deputy Minister and Emmerson Mfoko and Honorable Makgatha, otherwise I'll hand over to the members to ask questions. Seems not. Honorable members, question, and also Honorable Damase, if you have a question, you're also free to do so. Are there any hands? Or were the presentation very clear? I don't see any hands. But Honorable Apleni?
No, thanks, Chair.
Followed by Honorable Kevin.
Thanks to the team for the presentation as well. Now, Chair, I don't have much questions to ask. I think the presentation was very clear, and that the only question that I have, I think it would be on slide 10. we have there that the total employed during construction, it was 168 people. And then it says 157 were men, only 9 women. Youth was 65. So my concern is there, Chairperson, that out of 157 people which were employed, only 9 women were actually employed. I think for now it's only that I wanted to ask. I've just lost the notes that I was taking here. Now I can't seem okay. I would come back, Chairperson, for
come
for,
back.
For,
yes, can come back later once you find your notes.
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Matebula, followed by Honorable Shoti.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Honorable Apreli has covered some of my questions. I was having a question regarding the employment of women, because it seems as they don't take it seriously, the issue of gender parity. So I wanted to check which method did they use to employ many males in this regard. And as well, on the issue of SMMEs who were contracted there, I see only 2 belong to women. I wanted to check as well what might be the challenges in this regard. Why is so women only 2 SMMEs who were contracted in this regard? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matebula. Honorable Mussori.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start to thank the presentation. First thing, Honorable Chairperson, I think the issue of women is a concern to us, as the 2 honorable members was raised. The other question that I want to ask Dr. Klazin, Honorable Chairperson, he mentioned that they have 13 industrial parks in 7 provinces. So if maybe he can just mention that province, because in the NCOP we are presenting our own provinces, Honorable Chairperson. The other one, Honorable Chairperson, on the issue of construction of job created, they said it's 268 individual is youth, and also in the employment in the project, they mentioned the female and male, but I didn't hear anything about people with disability. If they can also clarify as why the region employ people with disability. I think for now, Chairperson has got only that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masudi. There any other question? Have you found your notes, Honorable Aplin? Or you fine? Okay. Perhaps from my side, as I indicated earlier, that I am deployed in the Dimbaza area, responsible for 3 wards, Ward 34, Ward 36, and Ward 38, together with MPL or MEC, which is now MEC funder. We share the constituent office, which is located just under 1 kilometer from the industrial park. So I was saying that we see that industrial park regularly because we drive past it. When we had a meeting with the community when we first deployed there, we got a kind of, I would say, a list of issues that we needed to attend to. They got to do with social development, their crime, business development, education, health, all that package of issues that we were asked to attend to as new members deployed in the area at the time. So with regard to the industrial park, which was also raised, There were some challenges that were highlighted by members of the community. We then wrote to the minister because I operated the national level, Minister Ibrahim Patel, to organize for us government officials who should come to a meeting and brief us about the industrial park as a concept, and specifically Timbaza Industrial Park and its status. And also requested that he assist to organize the spheres to be part of that meeting. The meeting was arranged. It took place in 2020, early 2020, just before the restrictions on the COVID. It took place at ECDC boardroom, attended by myself and the Constituent Management Committee, as well as the Mayor of Buffalo City, together with the then MMC responsible for economic development, Mr. Zwandile Vaipoom, also attended by the Municipal Manager of Buffalo City Municipality, and on the part of the department, it was attended by the Head of Department, Ms. Mam. But there was an official responsible, I think, for industrial parks from the DTIC. The point I wanted to raise is that at the time when we were taken through the presentation, there was also the chairperson of the board of ECDC at the time, and together with the then CEO, the board no longer there. We received the presentations. In terms of the phases, all the phases, we had time frames. I'm not sure whether then the COVID affected those time frames. It would indicate that the scope for phase one, this is what was going to happen. In phase two, this is what was going to happen. And then phase three and so forth. I mean, if you look at those that presentation, by now it's supposed to be done with the, all the phases. All you needed to do is to see investment taking place in that industrial park. But I take the point that is made by Mr. Klassen that going forward, there should be coordination between the three spheres. But I suspect that there is an absence of such. Now, because there was no progress that was visible between these two phases, we then made a follow-up. We had a meeting again. We also again wrote to the department, DTIC. Then the DTIC made Mr. Tammy Klassen available to us in the constituency. He made a presentation, which is no different from the one that he's making now. But this is sometimes the difference between a presentation and the actual oversight visit. Because as I said, the industrial park is less than a kilometer from where we have our meetings. We decided, because there were also members of the community, particularly from the business community. They call themselves Timbaza Business Forum. They're not asking 30%, Honorable Prada said, but they just want to be part and benefit from the industrial park as well. So we went there together with Mr. Klassen, who just made a presentation, the chief director. He was also alarmed to see. First, we could just go there without being stopped by anyone. There's no security at the gate. Let me switch off my camera because it's in the gate. There was no security at the gate. We just drove inside until we met a school inside the park. We met the principal. He didn't know anything about what was happening inside the fence, except that he was running a school. I saw that list of occupants, the schools is also mentioned there. We also saw women that were digging. We went to see them, talk to them and find out what was happening. We couldn't get a straight answer because there was no one from ECDC to take us through as to what was happening in the park, except the high mast and the fencing. But even the fencing was not complete. But also there was no security. But also there are challenges around the issues of social facilitation because communities there are fighting amongst themselves as to who should be employed. And also, even though I believe there's a social facilitator, but I don't think she's doing the work perfectly to bring together, you know, members of the community. I have seen letters being exchanged between Mr. Tammy Klassen and the members of the business forum. Some of them even threatening to close the park because they don't know what is happening in the park. So what we would like to see, because I still believe that the presentations are at a high level, maybe what we need to be getting from the ECDC in particular, the list of the companies, because this is a concern also from the community, because they say they don't know the companies that are working there. I see in their presentation that it says it talks about the local SMMEs that are also taking part in the park. Perhaps if we could get in writing the list of the these SMMEs and also their location as well, so that when we meet with the community of Imbaza, we're able to say this is the information that we received from the from ECDC in particular. But what we also did, Honorable Mpoko, and also the CEO of ECDC, we did not only visit the industrial park with Mr. Tammy Klassen, and there was also an official from the department, Eastern Cape Department of Economic Development and Environmental Affairs and Tourism, was with us. We also visited the Small Business Development Center. I wish, MSU, you could find time to visit that center. I mean, it states, you know, yeah. I just want to request that you just find time in your busy program to just visit that, because some of the buildings are not even now managed by ECDC. There are people that are managing those pieces and they are renting them out. The money comes to the story that were narrated to us. Monies are given to those who have taken over some of the buildings in that small business center in Imbaza. Also, there is a problem of crime within that business center that is taking place. So those are some of the stories that we were getting. So what the issues therefore that I think they need to be follow up on is this issue of coordination, but also if we could get much more detail with regard to the companies in all these phases, from the first phase to the current phase. But also in terms of the steering committee, which is another problem that causing fights, is that the steering committee on the part of the wards is only limited to one ward, and the other wards are very much concerned about that, especially wards that are surrounding the ward 34, ward 38, because it is at ward 36. So even with this employment of during the construction phase, it will only be those who are coming from ward 36 who get employed in those particular phases. So it's something that I think even at the level of the steering committee, the steering committee need to include people also from the other wards, because there's a feeling that they are being isolated and they're not also part of this world development in their area. Yeah. Now, but what we would like to do also going forward is to continue to monitor, because some of the issues are raised, especially with regard to this issue of the township economy. I think Mr. Tammy Klassen raised it in the meeting with the community there, because people were saying that about 90% of the people of Dimbaza are not working. They put it in Xhosa, he understands Xhosa. They put it in Xhosa, saying bavuka ngelanga lihambe liyotshona ilanga because abana ndokwenza. So in English you say when the sun rises, they watch the sun as it rises, as it moves towards the sunset. Every day, that's what they do. Just go outside, sit outside, watch the sun as it rises, as it moves towards the sunset, because they've got nothing else to do. And that's when then Mr. Klassen also, in addition to the industrial park, came with this idea of township economy. So we don't want this just to be a statement in the presentation. We want to see it being implemented. And therefore, I'm saying that with this one, even if we monitor it at the level of the constituency as part of our constituency work. So what we're also doing going forward, we may not necessarily bog down members of the committee with some of the issues that perhaps reside at the constituency level. But we will be requesting cooperation when we ask the department at the national level, the department at provincial level, Buffalo City Municipality, and ECDC to come and address the communities around some of these areas of concern with regard to the progress, with regard to the industrial park, particularly the Dimbaza industrial park. Can I ask them for the responses to the questions and the comments?
Sorry, Chair, before you do the...
Okay.
Now, Chairperson, I think you partly covered the part that I have actually lost, because I was I'm a bit concerned. You know, at slide 12, if you can see the breakdowns there, I think we should have got a very clear breakdown. We are speaking about the huge monies here. To say that three roads, electrical installation, wastewater treatment works and upgrade, and then it's like that. We don't even know where these roads. You know, I'm staying in King William's Town. I go to Dimbaza every day. The reason why I said I really do not want to get into deep details about the actual monies which were spent and what is visibly there. It's because I think as the structure of the EFF, we have to go and see what is actually happening there. I go there every day, like you are saying. I pass Dimbaza every day. My uncle stays there. I go to him whenever I'm here. And then I think we need a clear breakdown, Chairperson, a clear breakdown of how are these huge monies were spent. Because if you are actually talking about the higher mast light, and then we are being shown the new pole there, and we are speaking about such huge monies, 37.7 million, we pass there every day. So I think at least in the next time, if the department could just make a clear breakdown of what has been actually, what has been done with all of these monies. And we need to at least to understand where are these roads. They are talking about the roads within that industrial park. Because I think one of the most important things that we'll have to understand as time goes on, is the main purpose of these parks. Because it looks like now we're talking about the parks which should distribute huge monies to contractors, where you don't actually see the main purpose of our people getting employment. So at least I am appealing for the clear breakdown of how are these huge money spent, where are these roads that they are speaking about, are the roads which are inside, outside, all of those things. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ablini. I'm sorry, this is one of the takeaways for this meeting in terms of the way forward to get the breakdown of each of the phases. In terms of the breakdown of the monies and as well as the companies that we're not saying that they didn't do the work, but the company, the list of the companies that did the work. That kind of a breakdown. Can we get the responses then on the question that have been asked by members as well as the comments?
Maybe let me start. My colleague from the TTIC may come after. Chair, we've taken note of the request for supplying the list of companies working at Timbaza, starting from phase one to the current phase two and its sub-project. We have that, Chair, and we will forward that to the Secretariat. We've also taken note of the breakdown in the spend so that there's a better clarity on where the resources have gone into. We will also do that, Chair. An observation was made, Chair, around the area of security arrangement around the center. These, Chair, are not at the level at which they should be. The bringing in of the center manager will assist us in attending to these matters. As indicated earlier on, 1st of December, we've got a dedicated individual that will look at managing the centers, and part of the intended interventions is to tighten up the security measures around the centers, including Timbaza. The last matter that was raised was a concern about women. Chair, we have no defense for this. I think we can only say that as we move into other, you know, bits of work that we'll do in Timbaza, we will pay better attention to this. We have, you know, should I say, enlisted much, much less women than we should. And I think we will work closer with the contractors as well as the subcontractors to mainstream this important objective. Thank you, Chair.
I think before I forget, before others come in, I think the issue of the social facilitator as well, Mr. Waka, perhaps if I don't know whether it's just your, if they could arrange for a meeting and then address the communities and hear also the issues that they will be raising with regard to the park, all three wards, 34, 36 and 38, because that is the role of a social facilitator, not necessarily our role as people that would be between the constituency and parliament.
Noted, noted, Chair. There have been, should I say, in the past, some tensions, and we obtained great support from the Buffalo City Metro in addressing some of those challenges. And we will continue to work together to strengthen this area. We'll take a note of the matter you raised around the social facilitation.
Yeah. Mr. Klasse?
Thank you, Chair. I think if I did get Honorable Moshodi's question around the 13 industrial parks in the seven provinces was with effect to women empowerment. I don't know if I captured it correctly. I think I lost a little bit of signal somewhere. But I must state that overall, on all these industrial park sites, with regards to the two groups being women and the youth, are not looking good at all. In our presentations and submissions, based on the performance of these, incentives when it seeks to address these issues, I think we are very bad. And the other element, of course, is attending to the issues of people with disabilities. There, I think it's also dismal in terms of our reporting and what we get as the DTIC. So going forward, what we are also then saying is that we plan the different work packages together with the community development or skills centers, which should form part of our funding model to sustain the construction and also post-construction of these parks and industrial enclaves. We should make sure that when the investors with whatever intention and government money is put into the parks, we are able to segregate these jobs and set clear targets. We have been discussing this. I think for us today, if we're still standing at far less than 5%, which would be lucky at times to get 10% of women involved, is still an indictment. It's a concern, Chair, in terms of performance of the scheme. Sensibly, we should be talking about 50%. But we have also re-looked at our policies and they've said that it must be intentional that when a submission of an application in terms of a business case, it must illustrate how it's going to address these three areas, women, youth and people with disabilities, in order to assist government to meet those targets. The other thing that we are also emphasizing is probably it's been the distance of the DTIC to be a funder or a financier, but whilst it's not actively involved, which of course we did get the criticism, which is positive, from the honourable members of parliament with regards to that. So hence now the reformed approach is that we should have the DTIC, the province, its municipalities, and as best as we can, we get also the component of the private to be involved as clusters, as private investors, as associations, to take interest in these matters. So on the last one, Chair, you also touched on the issue of social facilitation, which when we came to Timbaza in particular, we did raise some of the concerns based again on the experiences that we've looked at both when we apply and develop these industrial estates and complexes, where the projects most likely are stalled. The issue of social facilitation, we've also discussed with National Treasury in terms of how we can look at tools through the City Supports Program, how we can support warm bodies to be capacitated so that they can be the intelligentsia or systems of sourcing out the intelligence on the ground, not only that we should be always be responsive, but we can be proactive into how these different work packages, skills packages, and other packages are then spread to the community and the community can realize them. And so these are some of the insights that we think the component of social facilitation, we need to put a program together that builds the capacity of social facilitators across, because it's better if you get a people from the same community which are well versed with issues of the dynamism that's involved. Because it's not only that they plan and take messages from the ward councillor to the project plan, but it's about planning. It's about being proactive on the issues of maintaining the order of security, being the eyes and ears of the overall community, but also working to identify potential areas which could be a risk to the program. We see social facilitators, as an example, as the key cog in terms of de-risking of the project. Because if they don't play that role, then the projects usually we've got enough lessons, especially in the Eastern Cape, which then became a national crisis of the bridge, which could not be completed with those multi-billions of rands, because the communities was not, didn't have a buy-in to those. So we are strongly emphasizing this, Chair, because it is one of the key elements when constructing that business case. We need to see clearly how these packages, in terms of work packages, skills development, audit of skills done, the three areas of the cohorts that I've highlighted, are actually incorporated in the methodology of then getting the money from government. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I ask the poll ahead, let me just find out if members have follow-up questions. It seems not. Let me then go back to the Pulgal heads. Let me start with MMC Makgatha, if we have got any comments to make. And then after that, Honorable Mvoko, and then DM Majola.
Thank you very much, greetings to yourself and to the committee. Deputy Minister Majola, MSC Mvoko, and the rest of the meeting, good evening. Chair, let me start by tendering the apology for the executive mayor. He was part of the meeting, but due to technical glitches, he was booted out. We must confess in this meeting, Chair, that really there are delays in Timbaza due to COVID-19. But we must as well indicate in this meeting that ever since we've started in Timbaza together with ECDC, there is progress. You would recall, Chair, after what happened then, that area was just a mess. But if you go to that area now, you can see that at least there is something being done. The amount of cash or money injected there is trying to give spin-offs, as you can see. So at least we are relatively going to what we are intending to get into Timbaza. But we must tell the committee that the proximity of King Williamstown and Timbaza is the problem, as indicated in the presentation. But I must assure you that having started the work, everything is going to be okay in Timbaza. The committee must be aware of the fact that that area used to be an employment area. Hence that cry now that people are out without work, basking in the sun with no work. That is a reality. It's something that we are working to address in partnering with the ECDC. And we are happy, as I already indicated, with the progress. Yes, there are challenges, but we're getting there. Okay. The first thing that I would want to address is the question of women in the employment. The work that has already been done now, it was a male-dominated work, but we're saying companies that will come, the question of women will be addressed. We can't undermine our women. We have to make it a point that they are employed in Timbaza. You are correct, Chair, when you say in terms of the steering committee, there is a dynamics in terms of the words. Those words, there are three words in that area. Ward 36 wants to be a dominant ward which is something wrong, which causes a friction within the ward. That, you are correct, we need to address as a matter of urgency. It can't be correct that a steering committee comes from one ward. That thing needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency. The other thing, it has been responded to the question of social facilitation. We're going to make it a point that we address that as soon as possible. I think those are the areas that I would want to contribute on, Chair. There is work, there are challenges, but we're getting there, Chair. That's my contribution. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mahata. Honorable MS Simboba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to DM and greetings to Councillor Mahata and everybody in the meeting.
Are you still there, MEC, or is the problem on my side?
We can't hear the MEC, Chairperson.
Is he still on the platform, Committee Secretary? Oh.
I'm still him there.
Okay.
No.
He's not on the platform.
No.
Okay, maybe he's going to rejoin. Let's ask the Honorable DM to make remarks.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. This will be very short. firstly, that I think I'm encouraged by what Hata has said, that he's optimistic that he will make progress in that industrial park. Honorable Chair, you're right. I was there with MEC Mvoko when the phase one started. So we, of course, affected by COVID. So we haven't made sufficient progress. We have had some discussions with MEC and the team there in the province with regard to what strategy we want to adopt. With regard to economic development generally, but in particular industrial parks and SEZs. So because that has going to have to be clearer in our conversation, because I can give you an example. When we went there for the first phase, and I don't know ECDC what figure they have. When we went there for the first phase, so the DTIC officials informed me that so to complete the revitalization of the entire park, including the design of the factories, including those repairing those that are derelict, so they say that this will cost R1 billion to do. So if you look at what has been done in phase one and phase two, so we're sitting just at around R150 million. So assume the number of R1 billion was correct. So you can see how far we are in terms of getting the whole of the industrial park properly revitalized. So we do require conversation with the municipality and with the province with regard to our approach to that specific industrial park as part and parcel of an economic strategy of the province and of the metro. Because there are issues there. So for instance, and I think some others have touched on this. So you could proceed to invest sufficiently in that industrial park, get the infrastructure in order. So when that is done, we're going to have to answer the question. Will that help attract sufficient number of investors to come into that industrial park? And in what industries are they going to be involved in? So So that's the question in relation to what are we going to do with a revitalized industrial park with regard to in an investment pipeline. So the second one is the surrounding environment there conducive to attract investment into that industrial park? So the issue requires, and when I was down there, we did have this discussion with the Isandlwana Industrial Development Zone with regard to what role they can play beyond just their confine of where the industrial zone is located. So I think we need a deeper discussion with regard to a development strategy for that area with proper linkages. So our special industrial development framework is attempting to address that, because we have tended in the past to concentrate on enclaves for industrial development. But have never looked at linkages between that industrial area and what are going to be the supply chains around that, and including just the infrastructure to ensure that we can be able to attract investment into that industrial area. So it's an issue, Chair, that MEC Mvogo knows. We had raised it in the past and had said that we will require that when we come back to the province, have a proper conversation on this matter. The economy in general, but the industrial parks and this one in particular, because it's quite a large industrial park. So, when I close, I would like to say that I think maybe at a practical level, in addition to the information that the members have required that must be made available, I'd already went just before this meeting and asked that perhaps it is now time that we fulfill our commitment to have another visit to the Eastern Cape, so that we can have a discussion on the industrial park in particular, and to see just what progress has been done and what next needs to be done in relation to other phases and what the cost implications are, and then to commit the all spheres of government and other entities into seeing that project through. So I think, Chair, so when maybe at the time when we want to do that, depending on MEC Mvogo would advise and the executive mayor of Buffalo City, at what point can we do that? We may want to make sure that there's coordination with members of the select committee, so that we can provide proper feedback, on the ground feedback, with regard to what can be done and what are the challenges in that area. So that's the only thing I'd like us to take forward. And I'll ask Mr. Klassen that we should look at the practicalities of how soon can we undertake this kind of a visit together with the province and our local government there to pay more attention to this issue. It's easier to, we can give you information about what happened to phase one, how many companies, where were they from, and there may be challenges, all of that information, and give you with regard to phase two, what has happened, who has been appointed, and are they local, and so on and so on. So I think that it's easy to provide that information, it must be given to you. The critical question would arise, so at what point are we going to finalize the revitalization of that large park, and at what cost, and what are the time frames for it? And is it linked to the regional economy as a whole, that revitalization? So I think that's the kind of conversation that we need to return to quite soon in the province, Honorable Chair. So that's the only submission I would like to make. And I can say to MMC Makgatha and MEC Mvogo that as soon as they are ready, we can arrange that we should pay a visit there to pay specific attention to the issues that you have raised, Honorable Chair, and that other members have raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We will definitely look forward to the dates I know between you and me, we've been arranging the date, but we could not get Ms. Mboko for a specific date for the visit. So it's a matter that there will be follow-up. I'm not sure if Honorable MC is back.
No, he's not connected yet.
Okay. It would have been nice for him to hear the closing remarks of DM. I don't know if Honorable Ndamase, if you would like to make comments.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me take the opportunity to greet you and the meeting at large. One thing that I would say from the side of the portfolio committee of the province is that we will have to take an interest from the oversight point of view in relation to what is happening in the industrial park. And thanks to this meeting that we managed to be part of it, and we are looking at the implementation that is happening, and therefore we have a duty also from the oversight point of view to be able to interact with what is happening there on the ground. And I'm happy that the Deputy Minister is arguing a point that we always argue, to say that we are concerned in terms of the industrial development in the province, and therefore would like to see a situation whereby what is happening in the industrial park is integrated to the broader industrial strategy of the province. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ndamase, Chair of the Portfolio Committee in the Eastern Cape of the Economic Development. I'm not sure if Honorable Members would like to make comments before we formally close the meeting, as I was indicating that we're looking forward to the oversight visit to the province, but also, as I indicated, that members are the ones who are on the ground. They can also make suggestions about the industrial park in their areas. I know we've been getting pressures from the chief whip of the NCOP, who would like us to visit the Buchabelo, because he comes from that area. There are some challenges with the industrial park there. It's just that we could not get a date for us to go there. I see there are hands from Honorable Dango, followed by Honorable Prapeset, in that order. Honorable Dango?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I was going to raise the question that you had just raised about visiting the industrial parks. There's also one outside Tshwane, Babalegi, that needs to be visited, where there's a dispute as to which province is in charge of that particular industrial park at this particular point in time. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Honorable Kim.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, it's more just a comment than anything else after listening to all the presentations. And just one thing I think the committee needs to consider, and also the political heads, is that these industrial parks were built at a certain time. They were built after 1994. And they've been allowed to fall apart and become derelict. And we just need to ask ourselves the honest question. This is not a political question. The honest question is, where is the accountability? Who are the people that were tasked with keeping these industrial zones up and running? One of the speakers spoke about R1 billion to get one of them up and running, or 150 million. But whatever it is, it's a huge amount of money when viewed by ordinary South Africans. And so the question we really need to ask ourselves is, why have we allowed these industrial parks to fall apart? Who is accountable for that? And if there are people still working in government who were accountable for that, we need to take action. And then most importantly, Chairperson, we need to learn the lessons. going forward, we need to make sure that we're not, that when we all move on from Parliament, there is not another cohort of MPs 15 years from now who are sitting and discussing how these parks were built, allowed to fall apart, rebuilt, and have been allowed to fall apart again, and what happened. We really have to be honest with ourselves and say, what are we doing wrong in terms of not getting this right, you know, at least a second time? And then who is accountable for looking after these institutions? Thank you, Chair. It's just a comment. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, for the comment.
Chairperson, if I may just a correction. Most of these industrial parks were built pre-1994, not in 1994.
No, the point I think he's making is that as a program, industrial parks is a program of a DTIC post 1994, but before that, there were industrial areas of the Bantustan. So that's how I understood it. But I think the challenge what's happened is that because these industries were heavily subsidized by the Bantustans, when then the new democratic government came in, it did away with the subsidies. Now, because they were only surviving on subsidies, without the subsidies, then they left. But I think the challenge was that the agencies that were responsible for, let me indicate, for example, the ECDC. But even before ECDC, there were development agencies of the Bantustan. There was what was called CISCI, the National Development Corporation, and the Transkei National Development. Before that, it was called the XDC, Xhosa Development Corporation. Then Transkei got its so-called independence. It has its own development agency. And then they were, after democracy, they were merged into Eastern Cape Development Corporation. I think the challenge was that when these companies left because they couldn't get subsidies, there was no responsibility then taken for the infrastructure they left behind. And as such, the infrastructure got vandalized because many of the factories in Dimbaza are factories that have been vandalized. In some situation, you just see steel or I mean the structure. You could just say this was a structure of a factory, but there's no factory. So most of them were vandalized. There are very few. I think they are stated in some of the slides in the report how many they were. In the area. I think the problem was around the security, because immediately after these companies, the owners of those companies left because they couldn't get the subsidies, security was supposed to be provided to guard those factories. The same thing that is happening, the example I was making about the small business center that is in Dimbaza. I think even there is no security fencing there. So that's why also it is a spot for crime or criminal activities. Something that I was inviting Honorable Mpoko to also visit there. It could be an area that we might also visit together with the Minister, Deputy Minister Manjola, and the Honorable Mahata and Honorable Mvoko. I think that sometimes the challenge is the security that causes, if there's no security, obviously you're inviting vandalism. But also, I'm not quite even sure in terms of these phases of the industrial park in Dimbaza, if there are any security cameras, because there was no security when we freely moved around the park. Nobody stopped us. There was no security. There was no manager for the park who we could talk to. We just talked to anyone that we could find inside the park. I think those are the points that are being raised, that the mistake was not to immediately ensure that there was security when others left. It's something that should be also taken care of with also other buildings that belong to government. Immediately the tenants leave, you must ensure that there's a security. Otherwise, you pay a double, if not triple, the amount when they get vandalized. Thank you very much. I take it that is an old hand, the Honorable Tim.
Chair, I just wanted to add, in response to what Honorable Dangle said, and I stand corrected by him, but my comment was not to be, was not a an attacking comment. It was, I was trying to make a progressive comment, as my comrades has often said. The point is, let's learn that when we spend a lot of money at Dimbaza and we fix it, let's just learn that from here on out, somebody needs to be accountable for the place. You know, so we don't have this conversation again and again and again. That's the whole point. Let's learn from the exercise. So if the political leaders who are here today can learn, if the officials that are here can learn from that, then we can move forward. But we really need to learn from it and say, never, never, never again, and just make it right. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Let me now take this opportunity to thank DM Machola, MEC Mvoko, Councillor Makgatha, honorable members of the Select Committee, honorable chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. I'm not sure if you are the only one from the Portfolio Committee here. If there are other members, I also thank them for their attendance. The management of DTIC, management of Department of Economic Development in the province, also management team of ECDC and the management team of Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality. Thank you very much. And also to the staff of the committee and the staff of parliament, the media. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation. As we have indicated, it's not going to be a once-off issue. We will still follow up on the issue of the industrial park of Dimbaza in particular, but also generally other industrial parks will depend also on members to make suggestions so that these become part of our programs. Thank you very much, honorable members. I don't know if committee secretary, if we managed to have the quorum, the other members join.
Yes, we do have.
Okay.
Yes, we do have a quorum, Chair.
All right. Can we then?
Sense of minutes.
Okay. Can we then release everybody else except the members of the committee and the staff of committee and the staff of parliament. Honorable GM and Honorable MEC, Honorable Makgatha and your team, ECDC, you are all released. We will deal with the internal matters at this stage. Thank you so
much.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you, sir.
Good night.
Good evening. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Can you, Enrico, flight the minute?
The meeting's on the 8th.
I just see Zoom. I don't see anything.
Enrico?
Well, we see you, Chair.
The minutes of the 8th first.
The minutes of the 18th.
Enrico, can we start with the minutes of the 8th, please? The first page.
First, Grace. I only have the 18th of October and the 25th of October.
Okay. Okay, flight it. I will open the 8th, but I email it to you. You can fly to that one, please.
Yeah, he's doing so. Can you scroll down, Basia?
It must be signal on his side because it are at long last.
Yeah. So 10 minutes. Okay. Are there any comments on the minutes? Any omissions? Any corrections? If not, can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes of the 18th of October?
I'll propose to.
Thank you very much, Honourable Producer. Any seconder?
I'll second, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Dango. Can we get another set of minutes? I think the 25th of October. You can scroll down, Mr. Bazia.
In the first minute is the 11th.
We've decreed the 18, and now we're on the 25th. I don't know if you're talking to me or if you're not muted, you're talking to somebody else.
Chair, if I may, for time, all of us, I take it that everybody's gone through the minutes. If somebody has something to say or wants to correct or wants to ask a question on the minutes, can't we do it? Because it looks as if Enrico's got some connection problems.
Okay. All right. Can we then adopt the minutes? But then if any member has got something to raise, can raise it in the process of adopting them. Can we have a mover and a seconder?
Before Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Mashoud.
I will second that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much.
Chairperson, I was not moving.
Oh.
Adopting. I was correcting something as I see this minute on attendance.
Oh, okay.
Yes, my name is appear twice there, if we can see if I'm correct, on the apology and on attendance.
You, but you were there.
Confirm
if you
were. No,
or you
confirm I read my diary, I was there. You see, that's Mr. Moshodi and apology again, Mr. Moshodi, and I'm coming from Limpopo on the last sentence.
Can we just enlarge it, Chair, please?
Yeah. Can we enlarge it? I see that under apologies, the same is El Moshodi, African National Congress, Limpopo. And then also under President, her name is there, El Moshodi, African National Congress, Free State. So there must be a correction. But she's confirming that she was present.
We will correct them, Chair.
Okay.
I'm going to write the minutes of the
11. No, before...
Let's first conclude this one. They will be corrected, Honorable Moshodi, as that you were present in the meeting.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I move for adoption of the minutes with correction. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Boshoff has seconded. Thank you so much. Then he said, because after the 25th, we didn't have a meeting. We didn't have a meeting.
We had a meeting on the 11th.
11th
okay. of October.
Okay. Can you fly them?
Can you see them?
No, we can just see select committee on trade.
Okay. Can you see them?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you can forward to
Swallow City Football.
Sorry for that.
Okay.
What?
I'm forwarding the minutes to you, Enrico. I'm done.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Can you see them?
Not yet. I thought I was lighting. I thought that Enrico was
Enrico,
the one.
Enrico, can you see them?
So don't light at the same time.
I'm not lighting.
Jesus Christ, I can see it. I'm going to flight it now.
Okay, thanks.
Otherwise, we're going to jam the system. Department of Tourism. We dealt with this. I remember even Honorable Boshoff asked about the project. It was these minutes when she asked about the update on the project. You remember that, Honorable Boshoff?
I do. We've dealt with them.
Yeah, that's why then later on I followed up with the committee secretaries to say let's have an annual report of tourism, and that they should also give us an update on the issue of the Northern Cape project. So we've already...
You said you were, yes, you were going to do it, so thank you.
Yes.
We
already did.
It is the 8th of November. It is the 8th of October. But we have three sets of meetings.
Let's deal with them at another meeting because you can't wait.
You are right. Okay.
If you think that there are minutes that we did not adopt, bring them in the next meeting, which will be, I think, after the taking Parliament to the people.
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we won't have a meeting next week because all of us will be in Durban, unless there are apologies for the taking Parliament to the people, that will be in KZN. And so we'll then meet the following Tuesday. I think it will be the DTIC, if I'm not mistaken, on their program 2. Honorable team?
Chairperson, sorry, I'm not trying to delay. Is there any clarity on the center engineering next year? We're getting very, very close to this. I was only there to be in assistance with our official passports, and I've heard absolutely nothing about the dates or all that thing. I don't know if I can just flag it now, and maybe we can next week and all together in KZ. Because we're not meeting tomorrow, so it's the Packers. So I just wanted to just raise it. Thank you, Chair.
I didn't hear, I don't know whether a problem is on my side. If Committee Secretary, you heard the Honorable Tim, but I heard something about passport, and maybe if you can respond maybe on the study tour.
Sorry, Chairperson, can I try again?
Okay.
Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, I can hear you now.
It was just about the study tour that was supposedly scheduled for January next year, Chair.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us have got, you know, already starting to have things filling up our diary in January next year, including by-elections. So I just wanted to know if there's been any finality on the study tour and when it's happening and what's happening there. That's, I just wanted to flag it, Chair. I'm quite happy if we discuss it next week in KZN. But I just wanted to flag it. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you very much. I have heard you this. There have been delays, honorable members, in terms of cooperation from DECO, because we do these things through DECO. So there has been delays. But we have asked Ambassador Dango to also assist the committee secretaries to talk to DECO, and as such there's some progress. But also the challenge, if you remember, we had identified three countries: China, Singapore and Indonesia. We were informed by DECO that China still has a COVID-19 restrictions. If we go there, it would mean we have to first quarantine for 10 days. So meaning that we would waste 10 days on quarantine, on our own expenses, obviously parliament expenses, but for 10 days. But also if we'll have to do tests, if one of us, just one of us, is found to be infected, the whole delegation will be sent back packing. So we decided that we can't be there for 10 days doing nothing, just being quarantined. So we dropped China. We tried to check if we could perhaps come with another country, which we, the committee secretary suggested, South Korea, in addition to Singapore and Indonesia. There was also another delay. In fact, all three countries have been delayed in terms of response. And then we were then later informed that South Korea has already indicated that there are two committees from Parliament that will be going there. I think one is from NA, the other one is the Select Committee on Social Service that will be going to South Korea. So I don't think they thought perhaps it could be like a stampede, even though the dates are different. So we thought that because of the delay, let's just concentrate now on two countries, Indonesia and Singapore. Now, initially, the first country was going to be China, so meaning that that week that went to China is out. So meaning that the date will be from now, the 17th, according to the information I got from the committee secretary. It will be from the 17th, so you can diarize maybe a week. Can you hear me?
Okay. Chair, can I come in with the date, on the date, on the issue of the date?
Maybe let's let Honorable Sonja Boshoff and Honorable Mohamed Dango to come in, and then you can respond to the issues that they would highlight here. Honorable Boshoff?
Hey, no, I was just going to say, if China is out, let's try Vietnam, because it's also got some good stories to tell.
Okay. Yeah, and the problem is the whatever countries that we agree on, the problem is that they don't respond on time, and the time is running out for us, because even when they finally agree, by the time they agree, there are also long processes internally in parliament. It must go to the acting manager, must sign the approval. There are approval processes that take about maybe four or five people. Sometimes there's a delay even with that. So that's why we felt that let's not try another country now. Let's just stick on the two, because it's already November now. And our last day will be on the 6th of December. We may struggle to get the people that are supposed to be signing to approve.
So it would be better if by the time we leave, everything is sorted out. We know when we'll be leaving and all the other logistics will have been dealt with. Honorable Dango, and then
Chairperson,
Honorable Professor.
Let me leave it to the committee secretary. I've been in touch with her continuously regarding the matter, so I'll repeat what she's been saying.
Okay, all right. Honorable Tim?
Chairperson, I was just wondering if we're having such a hassle, why don't we move the study to a later in the year? And I know that there's a particular country in September, Chairperson, that's going to be hosting quite a big event, and we can go and look at public works, we can look at trade and industry, we can look at small business development, we can look at tourism in particular, and we can look at transport. It's France, Chairperson, and that's around about the time of the World Cup. It'll be a perfect visit for us to go and see all of those things happening at the same time. No, but seriously, that's on a light-hearted note. I'm trying. Yeah. But on a light-hearted note, you know, if we can't get this done soon, perhaps we should maybe just look at doing something mid-year. I don't know. But that's up to you, Chairperson. I just wanted to flag it for a discussion. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, that's fine. The reason why we also chose the January, honorable members, is that usually when it's just a year before election, I know the experience in the last term, in the caucus, we were told in an uncertain term that there will be no study tours, only those international organizations that Parliament is affiliated to would be going out. So we felt that perhaps if we do it in January, at least before even we anticipate that there may be a decision not to go out a year before the election, because most parties will now be starting to focus on their campaigns. But I suggest that we still continue with these two, but we try the one that you're proposing for next day, with the hope that there won't be a decision that says no oversight visits in 2023. We'll put in that application for next year for around the time that you're suggesting. But let's go ahead with this one of January. Over to you, Committee Secretary.
Thank you, Chair. As the Secretariat, we discovered that if Indonesia, it will take us to travel to Indonesia. So we thought it will be better if fly on the 6th, which is Friday, and arrived on the 8th, and arrived on the 7th to Saturday, and then on the 8th we will have a briefing with the mission there, at least before we start working on Monday the 9th up to the 13th. And then from the 13th, we move to Singapore, and then we start working on from the 16th to the 20th, and then we fly back to South Africa on Saturday, the 21st. And we also wrote to the mission to extend the day, because we had 3 days we had 2 days in South Korea, we had 3 days in Singapore and in Indonesia. So we wrote to them to say we are extending those 3 days because we are no longer traveling to Ukraine. I just want to know if the members are happy with that.
Ukraine, where does Ukraine come now?
Your South Korea. We are no longer traveling to South Korea. So we try to add those days in Indonesia and Singapore, which means we are leaving on the 5th of January and come back on the 21st.
of January.
And any questions, honourable members? I think we should continue updating each other regularly. Yes. Honourable Msori?
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Listening to Office Grace, I agree because firstly we are supposed to visit three countries. Now we drop to go to China. So that the days of China will be added into a country which is Indonesia and Singapore. That is my understanding.
Yes.
Yes, so I agree.
Okay. No, that's right. But we will continue to get the update. Maybe what Honorable Brother Cedric that maybe we should have this as a standing agenda items in future meetings until the time that we will be leaving. So when we meet again a week after next week, we'll get an update again as to
another thing, Chair, when members leave Parliament on the closing day, or even before, a week before that, they must all hand all their passport to Hlupheka. Official passport to Hlupheka. So that if we need them, we can use them and then we will meet them in Joburg with their official passport.
Okay. Right. But
Hlupheka will send the members there.
Okay. Honorable Boshoff?
Thank you, Chair. I didn't quite get what Sis Grace said about the passports.
She's suggesting that we should hand them over to them so that if there is a need, they are readily available. And then, because when we leave, we'll leave from our provinces and meet in Johannesburg, then they will be handed over to us in Johannesburg.
Okay, thank you. I understand now.
Yes. Thank you so much. The old hand,
Honorable Msoti? Yes, it is the old one.
All right. I think with that, Honorable Members, that bring us...
Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay.
Sorry, Chairperson, I'm so sorry. I was under the impression that Hlupheka was going to be helping us with passports. Are you saying we must go and sort out our own official passports and our own South African passports? Is that right? Because both of mine have expired. Is Hlupheka helping us with that, or must we do it ourselves? That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Hlupheka managed to email you the letter from the Department of International Relations, and then members had to go to Home Affairs to do their official passport. Those who does not have the official passport.
Sorry, Chair.
And some members have already done.
Chair, we never received such an email. We were just asked to forward a photo of our passports and he would return something back to us. And up until today, we haven't seen anything or seen an email that Sis Grace is talking of.
No, I also don't remember.
I agree with that, Chairperson.
What happened is that members must get the letter from IR in Parliament.
Yes.
And what they'll then do, they go to...
They go to Home Affairs.
But there's a gentleman there, I think it's Mr. Menchis, if I'm not mistaken, that you will meet... he will take responsibility of going to all those relevant counters, but you will only come in when you have to take the photo, because the photos are taken inside. You don't go with the photo. They are taken there inside Home Affairs. So if you go there with that letter, it means you have to chew and go to all those counters. But to make it easier, we must, once you get the letter, you must call Mr. Minchis. I think I still have the phone number. I'll send it to the group. So it's quicker because he will do all the logistics and the administrative work. All you will be needed is to just take the picture and also sign if there is something to sign. That's all that you'll do. Because you will take your opportunity for those who be chewing. It will take you right up to the front of the queue. But you must have your identification card of parliament.
Chairperson, I think
can you just get that letter, please?
I will speak to Kumchaka.
Can you just get that letter, please?
Yes.
No,
I'm sure we'll meet also tomorrow in the plenary, so we can discuss some of these issues individually. It's just that I'm not quite sure whether the staff of the IR is physically in Parliament, because the advantage at the time I did it, it was before COVID, so I went straight to their offices. They gave me the letter, and they gave me the name of the person. But also that office of the House Chairperson responsible for international relations, the staff there also work together with the IR in Parliament. They also assist with those processes. Because I got the number from them. They phoned first Mr. Minchis. So that's why I'm saying, Honorable Professor, let's discuss it tomorrow if you'll be in person in Parliament tomorrow. I don't know.
Yes, Chairperson, I'll be there. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, let's discuss it together. I can link you up with the staff of the House Chairperson. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. If there is nothing else, Honorable Members and the staff, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Thank you very much.